Affiliates, Head On with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates, Head On with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Screaming to the rooftops, from the mountain peaks. Lord, what a day. What a day. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Thanks for joining us, my lovely wife Agnes and I, for your Friday evening. We're tickled to death to be a part of it. Especially on a day like this. I got up this morning like so many other people did, and bang, there it was, the New York Times article, headline, Bush secretly lifted some limits on spying in U.S. after 9/11, officials say. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Are you surprised? Are you at all surprised at this? Of course not. We on the progressive side, we decent people, we normal people, we Democrats have said for lo these many years now that George W. Bush was a dirty crook. And now the proof is out. What more do we need? Valerie Plame, that smacks of, there's that word, treason. The lies leading up to the war, the lies during the war, the lies about 9/11. It is all just an entire mosaic. It's the Bayeux tapestry of lying and filth for the 21st century in America. And now we find out today that George Bush was more scared of us than he was of the terrorists. That's what it boils down to, you know. When he ordered, outside, for God's sakes, outside the Patriot Act, when he ordered the National Security Agency to spy on American civilians in their phone conversations without a warrant, without any sort of, by your leave, even by the special court that exists to secretly grant wiretaps. When he did that, Didn't he just make it clear once and for all that to George W. Bush and to the Republican Party, we, the normal people, are the people of whom he is truly terrified? Thousands of phone conversations, literally thousands, spied on. Just flip the switch and start listening to Aunt Mabel's recipe for fudge. Now can we impeach this bastard? Please? Or can we begin proceedings, or is the Republican House of Representatives hell bent and damnation bound to go down with him? What do we as an arguably free people do about a revelation like this? Screw Richard Nixon. This taken together. George W. Bush and his cronies make Richard Nixon look like a piker. Yeah, there was Nixon and there was COINTELPRO, and what was it, 2-3 days ago that NBC Lisa Myers reported on the discovery of the surveillance of the Quakers in Lake Worth, Florida? Does it make a little bit more sense now when I say things like, this is, we're not moving toward fascism, we're in it? Does it make a little more sense now when I say that this is a police state? Oh, you're comfortable, you're happy, reasonably so, because you're not crossing the line. You're not a threat to George W. Bush, yet. But if you stand up and if you start making noise, if you join a protest and head for the, if we surround the White House with a million human beings and demand his exit, then you are a bigger threat to George W. Bush than the terrorists ever were. After all, I mean, for God's sakes, he was business partners with the Bin Ladens. What a revelation. Now, of course, the White House wouldn't comment. We will not comment on national security matters. This, and ultimately, that is the debate that we have to have. On the same day that this story came out in the New York Times, the debate over the conference committee report on the Patriot Act was taking place in the Senate. Some might argue that that was the reason for the timing of it. But on the it's so important to have this discussion because there were people in the Senate saying, well, you know, we're not going to vote for this, you know, we're going to beat the cloture vote, effectively serving notice of filibuster against the conference committee report. But even in that group, there were people, well, you know, we just want to make it a better Patriot Act. Sooner or later, we have got to have this discussion about whether we are going to be the national security police state or if we are going to take our chances and side with freedom. We all know that 9/11 did not occur because of breaches in security. 9/11 occurred because of rank, gross, negligent misconduct on the part of the Bush administration. Anybody in the Oval Office with a half a damn brain might have paid, you know, you get that little report, it's August the 6th, what the hell are you doing on vacation in Crawford anyway? And you get the report, Bin Laden determined to strike in U.S. And it's, you open the report and you read the report. See, at this point in this hypothetical, we've already done more than George Bush did. When I got to the point where you open the report and you read the report, that's more than he did. Hey, get Brownie, see if he'll read this for me. I got some big reading for Brownie to do. That's what we're dealing with here. These weren't security breaches. These were incompetent, negligent acts of malfeasance in office. And now that we know that this man was willing to overstep even the low water mark set by Richard Pinhead Nixon and order spying on American citizens, now that we know that, can we finally get over that? Does this, once and for all, honest to God, does this pass the blue dress test? Is this finally George W. Bush's little blue dress? God, I hope so. Let's take a break.
He stayed at his cousin's overnight. The protein shakes, that's not like him. The carrot cakes, that's not like him. The old bran flakes, that's not like him. And the sweet name he called me in his sleep last night. Oh, that's not like him. He whispers on the telephone. He goes out smelling.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
I take for granted that you're always there. I take for granted.
right, welcome back. What a day. Indeed, what a day. Let's check out a few of the comments that were made. Now, bear in mind, when it came out that this story was going to hit, they hustled Condoleezza Rice out to the Today Show so fast she probably didn't had to put her Ferragamo pumps on in the car, in the limo. But and so Katie Couric asks her straight up, what's all this about? But, you know, if you're asking a question of the Bush administration, are we so self-deluded that we think that we're actually going to get a straight answer? Of course we're not.
Why did the Bush administration feel this step was necessary?
Well, Katie, I'm not going to comment on intelligence matters and certainly not on a newspaper story about intelligence matters. I can tell you that the president has always lived within the law.
No, he hasn't.
He has always said that he will do everything that he can to protect the American people from the kind of attack that we experienced on September 11th, but within the law and with due regard for the civil liberties of Americans, because he takes absolutely seriously his constitutional responsibility, mm-hmm. both to defend Americans and to do it within the law.
Huh? What, Edith? That's a non-answer answer. It's what's the line from All the President's Men? That's a non-denial denial. All Katie asked her was, why'd you do it? And we get this gobbledygook about, you know, the president lives within the law. Blah, 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 blah. No, you see, this is outlaw stuff. George Bush is officially an outlaw now. He is an outlaw and deserves to be punished as such. But Condi was so unrehearsed and unprepared, the best she could come up with was, he's gonna protect people, you know. Jeez. Let's go to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Well, good evening. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Was that Todd Rundgren I heard?
That was Todd Rundgren you heard.
Best concert I ever went to. He gave free in Woburn Rink in Central Park in 1974.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You can get the movie. You can get a recording.
Oh, well.
Anyway, 92% of the American people do not agree that their phones need to be tapped. And those that just came off the news tonight.
And the other 8% need their phones tapped, I guess.
I would think so. But, you know, looking back on this, you know, for Bush, the classic dictum of von Clausewitz, that war is an extension of national policy by other means, has been reversed. And with him, policy is a continuation of war by other means.
Kind of backwards, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Now, I'll tell you something. In the scheme of things, God made the angels to show him splendor, as he made the animals for their innocence and plants for their simplicity. But man he made to serve him wittily within the tangle of his mind. I don't think this sitting president or his advisors or members of our government have served God or man very wittingly as of late.
No, they serve themselves, Jim. It's abundantly clear now. Let's stop this happy hooey about national security. This isn't national security. This is the boundless desire of the Bush administration to get as far into people's homes and lives as they possibly can. This is what I've warned against for so long. This is what comes of being part of the, among other things, of the religious right.
Well, I think here is a good prayer for some of these people to pray and really mean it. And it's very simple, if they are truly religious and if they truly want to be right. And this was written by Sir Thomas More. And he said, it's called the Lawyer's Prayer. Lord, grant that I may be able in argument, accurate in analysis, and honest with adversaries. Sit with me at my desk, so that today I shall not, in order to win a point, lose my soul.
It would be, people would be well advised to take that to heart.
And that's all I had to say, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you so much. This thing's developing, and I have a feeling we haven't heard the last of it.
Let's hope so. I hope things will work out that right will prevail.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
All right, take care. Now, in the interim, I thought you might like to hear something. A little piece of prosody. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. For you see, when you're listening in on phone conversations, that is a seizure and that is a search. And that right there is what we're talking. My God, how plain is that? That's not complicated. That's easy. Don't do it. But it's too tough for God Almighty, this crowd. But that, you know, it's not just the Bush administration. There's something more here. And it's in the body of the story. I'm sure a lot of you have already noticed it, so you won't be surprised when I say that the real outrage isn't necessarily at the Bush administration's doorstep. Oh, no, not really. So let's take our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, yeah, outrage aplenty. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
She came from Providence, one in Rhode Island, where the old world shadows hang heavy in the air. She packed her hopes and dreams like a refugee, just as her father came across the sea. She heard about a place
Thanks for sticking around. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Coming up on 27 minutes before the hour. Of course, you know the phone numbers. They're seared into your brain by now. 304-658-3333 or 877, the number 4, Head On. H-E-A-D-O-N. That's 877-443-2366. Email's real easy, too. bob@headonradio.com. Got it? Good. Now, back to the New York Times. He's a dirty, rotten, cheating, but we know that. No, it's down in the body of the it's down in the body of the story. When you find out that the New York Times, God, I love them. The New York Times has been sitting on this story for over a year. For over a year, they've had this story. They went, and, you know, the good soldiers that they are, they went to the Bush administration. The Bush administration said, oh, please don't put that out there. Please don't tell people that we're secretly wiretapping ordinary American citizens. And the New York Times said, okay, we won't do it. And, you know, call me crazy. I've got one question. Do you think it might have been nice to have this information before the 2004 elections? Do you think it might have been handy to know that George Bush was in charge of a freaking illegal spy ring before we went to the polls in 2004? Do you think it might have made a difference in the state of Ohio? Might it have made a difference in any number, you know, I mean, we're talking, you go into the red states. Is there anybody out there that's more, forgive me, but more paranoid than your average redneck? I don't want nobody spying on me. Get off my land. Do you think it might have made a difference down there? You know, in Mississippi? You think they might have been a little bit put out by the idea of the White House just, you know, like I said, listening in on Aunt Mabel's fudge recipe? How much garbage did they have to wade through? What proof do we have that they got anything good out of it? But beyond all that, thanks a million, New York Times. Thanks a million. Thanks for nothing. It might have been nice to know about this before the election went down. But you see, our betters at the New York Times didn't think it would have been. Do you remember the hell and damnation that broke loose when the Johns Hopkins study in the Lancet broke before the election? Oh, they're trying to manipulate the election. Well, it is at least nice to know that it's reverberating and getting some legs in the Senate. I've got sound for you from any number of members of the United States Senate today. Pat Leahy, who was told to go F himself by Dick Cheney on the floor of that self-same Senate. Now do you understand the arrogance that is involved? Let's go to the phones. Ben's with us. Hey, Ben, you're head on. There you are.
Hey there, Bob.
How you doing?
Pretty good. You know, it occurs to me that given the amount of grief some of the media have had at the hands of the Bushes over the last few years, that the delay of this story is not unintentional. I think that they decided to hang on to it and let it go when it could do the most good, which was today.
Play the card.
They held it. They you know, they knew they were going to have pushback if they released it a year ago. The election was already over.
Yeah, well, that's the question, Ben. I mean, there was no precise date given in the article. I'm sure you've read it too. I took it from what I read that they had it prior to the election.
Okay, I didn't get that from it. But, you know, I'll take a year at face value. So it was December of last year or late November that they finally developed the story. If so, holding it until today did the maximum possible amount of damage to Bush.
Just because of the Patriot Act deliberations?
Correct.
Okay.
I don't think without this story we could have mustered a filibuster cloture defeat.
Well, that makes good sense. Although now Arlen Specter was up there talking today, and he said, "Well, you know, I don't want anybody thinking that this is going to influence the debate or the vote today. I wouldn't dare say that." Which I guess
wouldn't dare say that, but everyone knows it.
Yeah, that's pretty much proof of your point.
Right.
Well, what happens now?
Well, now they're going to use every parliamentary and political and dirty trick they've got to try to get the Patriot Act reinstated before it expires. And there are several reasons for this. The major one is if it expires, then Freedom of Information Act requests that are blocked by the Patriot Act will be able to go ahead, and we will have the goods on them on lots of things.
Oh, my. I didn't even think about the Freedom of Information Act.
They have to keep the Patriot Act in place to keep the balls in the air. If it goes out of effect for even a day, they are in deep trouble.
Well, what about the and I know we were dealing with a Republican House of Representatives, but what about the outright, arguably criminal behavior that this represents on the part of the President of the United States?
If we can make the Republicans understand that their future as a party in this country and their individual futures as representatives of their potential, of their district, depends upon them getting rid of this president before the 06 election and being on the record as having voted for impeachment of this president before the 06 election, then we may have him. Now, on the converse, if that doesn't happen, the Democrats will sweep in 06. So I'm not sure which I hope for at this point. But either one would be a good result for us. I can't see us losing now.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Did you see the remark or just passing reference made to the hissy being thrown by the Republican National Committee as of yesterday regarding John Kerry's remarks?
Yes, I did.
Is this all dovetailing together? I mean, and the story from NBC 3 days ago.
It is all dovetailing together, and I really do believe that there are elements in the Republican Party that want to cut their losses by ditching him, ditching Bush and ditching Cheney.
Well, I can't help wondering. Somebody's feeding something somewhere, it seems like, because this was, an inside leak at the Department of Defense with regard to the DOD surveillance. Who knows who the leaker was inside the White House? Somebody is breaking omerta in the Bush White House.
Agreed. And I would look to a couple of different things, but primarily I would say, you know, those guys in the really good suits who showed up and talked to Newt Gingrich and said, Newt, you're out of here.
Yeah.
I think those guys have finally decided that their interests are not served any longer by the continued tenure of this president.
Well, I'm just
one way or the other, he's out.
Well, I'm just beginning. I mean, this is more. I think there's more to this than appears on its face.
I agree.
This has a lot of onion factor to it, many layers. And one of the things that occurs to me is that the Bush administration, party loyalty hasn't even, you know, we hear a lot about how, you know, he'll go to the mat, you know, he won't fire Rumsfeld because he's so loyal, yada, yada, yada. But the fact of the matter is, they will burn, they will rape, they will pillage, they will kill, they will steal. It's not about necessarily, I don't think, Republican policy. It is about the cult of personality that is George W. Bush. And when you look at what they've done to the intelligence community, I wonder if maybe there's a little bit of bite back in that too.
Well, you know, I really do believe that the CIA understands how to take care of itself.
And this is a part of that, you think?
Uh huh.
We may be watching something absolutely fascinating.
I wouldn't be surprised, and you know, you may think this is shocking, but you know, if you think about their history, it's not. I would be surprised if the old man gave his okay.
Well, I've got a soundbite here, and I want to play it if you don't mind.
Okay.
I'd like your thoughts on. Now, this is from the speech a couple of days ago. Let me make sure that we've got the right one. And I'm not offering up. You made a comment way back in the bad old days when I was still on the radio station in Beckley. You made a prediction that he might not see his term out. You remember
right.
that?
Yep.
Well, you know, if I forget where I saw it. Maybe canoffun.com. A comparison of Bush then and Bush now, where he's getting more slurry, more disjointed. You got it there? Okay. Let's just listen to his vocalizations in this, Ben.
Okay.
Part of their tactics is to create vacuums so that their hateful ideology flows in. They, listen, the attack of September the 11th was a part of a broad strategy to get us to retreat from the world.
Did you hear? It was a part of a broad strategy.
I think there's really two things you're seeing medically in George Bush right now.
Okay.
Number one is the pernicious late result of fetal alcohol syndrome. And because, you know, if you look at him, his ears, the way his chin is formed, the way his lips are formed, the way his eyes are formed, and the way the bridge of his nose is, et cetera, he looks like somebody who was born with fetal alcohol syndrome. Okay? And finally, you know, I think that you are seeing the onset of Korsakoff syndrome.
Okay.
Which is alcoholic dementia.
Yeah, well, almost is that similar in nature to organic brain?
Yeah, very okay. similar. Korsakoff has got a lot of manifestations, but the slurring of the speech. The repeating of things over and over, the memory lapses that are pretty obvious when he's talking to somebody. I don't think he's really, you know, some of these long explanations he goes into to try to answer a question. I think part of it is because he doesn't remember what the question was.
And we saw some of that when he was taking questions in Philly that day. Yeah, I'll repeat the question. If I don't like it, I'll make one up.
Well, yeah, So I think we're looking at fetal alcohol syndrome and Korsakoff. This is what Carrie Nation meant when she wanted to get us prohibition here. You know.
Well, is he back on the sauce? I mean, I don't know.
I believe. Well, first of all, Korsakoff is progressive, and it's progressive. It stops progressing when you stop drinking.
But then it potentiates itself and almost redoubles if you start back.
If you start again. And I really believe that, you know, and I've got some private sources of information that say he was drinking.
Really?
This was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Well, you know, I remember back early in the first term when he went for his big summer meeting in St. Petersburg, Russia. This was something that happened at 3-4 in the morning, and I just, you know, I'm a night owl, and I happened to be watching, and he was sitting there at the table with Vladimir Putin, and, you know, I'm guessing that wasn't water going in those little shot glasses.
You know, it would have been, you know, I believe, that in fact could have been when he got off the wagon, too.
And, well, we've seen him with wine glasses as well, and even before his... after his road to Damascus experience, there's a video out there, Ben, of him at a wedding reception, and just drunker than Adam's off box.
Absolutely, I've got that video, and periodically I will post it someplace on the internet entitled George W. Bush's Finest Moment: Great Speeches of the 21st Century. Debait the freepers into downloading it and looking at it.
you're a wily and cruel man, Ben.
You take care, sir.
All right, you have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Oh, there's six different ways from Sunday we can go with this, and we're going to hit every one of them, I promise. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
so tired of being here. Suppressed by all my childish fears. And if you have to leave, I wish that you would just leave. Cause your presence still lingers here, and it won't leave me alone. These wounds won't seem to heal. This pain is just too real. There's just too much that time cannot erase. When you cried, I wipe away.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
Little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pet.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. Live with all your faults. I want to wake up where you are. Anything at all, so why don't you smile? Yeah, we're gonna let it fly, guys. Don't you love the life?
Thanks for sticking around 8 minutes before the hour. Just to give you an idea of why this story, and you know, look, you're liberal, you're smart, you're progressive, you're decent, you're Democrats. you understand why this is important, but it all ties together. There are, like I said, talking to Ben a couple of minutes ago, there are layers within layers within layers here. So last night, after I got done with the show, you know, I'm like Pinkerton. We never sleep and just absorb information. So I'm cruising around reading stuff after the show's over last night, and I hit this headline off CNN, official, Al Zarqawi caught, released. We caught Zarqawi in Iraq. Now, that we don't know if which Zarqawi this was. I mean, for all I know, that's, you know, like Smith there. But seriously, it had the mugshot. This guy, we hate him. You know, he's a violent terrorist extremist and cuts off heads. That guy, who at one point we were told was one-legged. That guy. Now, they caught him. They caught him in Iraq and turned him loose. And I submit to you, this is what happens when you are more scared of your own citizenry than you are, you know, of the people who are really wanting to, you know, do harm and damage and so forth. But it's really not a surprise, because we also know that prior to the actual initiation of the Iraq War in 2003, well, we had a chance to take him out then. We had rock-solid info, could have dropped a couple of missiles on him, and the Bush administration chose not to because they thought it would water down the reasons for going to war. Everything that's been done, they wanted. War wasn't forced on them. They chose war. They weren't compelled to spy on the citizens of the United States. They wanted to spy on them. This is all a matter of choice, and for God's sakes, these are the choices that evil people make. You know, that's the way it is. Look at the McCain torture bill. You know, if you send that up, I'll veto it. And today, calmly, quietly, we're going to go along with it, okay? It's not that they suddenly woke up and realized it was the right thing to do. They'd just done everything else wrong and had run out of wrong things. That's how they operate. Hussein Kamal confirmed that Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the al-Qaeda Iraq leader who has a $25 million bounty on his head, was in custody at some point last year, but he wouldn't provide further details. A U.S. official couldn't confirm the report, but said he wouldn't dismiss it. It is plausible, he said. The excuse given? He'd put on weight. I'm guessing not in that missing leg, but he'd put on weight. These are the Keystone Cops. I mean, what is there to be had in listening to ordinary Americans' telephone conversations? Pat Leahy got it right today on the floor of the Senate. Pat Leahy laid it out in spades.
According to the reports, it's being conducted under a secret presidential order based on secret legal opinions by the same Justice Department lawyers, the same ones who argued secretly that the president could order the use of torture. Mr. President, it is time to have some checks and balances in this country. We are a democracy. We are a democracy. Let's have checks and balances, not secret orders and secret courts and secret torture, and on and on.
But you see, what gets under my skin is the fact that, okay, this was a bipartisan effort today, but with the other side, it's all politics, sunshine. We could have 3,000 Americans dead in the street. Oh, wait a minute, we did. But nothing is as important as politics, as evidenced by our buddy, you remember the cat killer? Our buddy Bill Frist, yeah, listen to his take on the Patriot Act.
Some members of Congress have called for a retreat and defeat strategy in Iraq, and that's the wrong strategy in Iraq.
You get this?
And it's the wrong strategy here at home. a vote against the Patriot Act amounts to retreat and defeat here at home against terrorism. To those who still harbor concerns with this bill, I have a simple reply. We have more to fear from terrorists than this Patriot Act compromise.
I would submit that the opposite is true. We have more to fear from the Republican Party than we have to fear from Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, 8,000 freaking miles away, who couldn't get here on a dare. But that's the way it is with them. Damn us all. Politics is everything to the Republican Party. Oh, we're far from done, so don't go away. It's time for our top of the hour break. We'll be back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Push your car for the road. way, honey, I get the feeling you owe. There is no sense in pretending. Your eyes give you away. Something inside you is feeling like I do. Is it all there is to say?
Second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Now, something occurred to me during the break. You know, our pal Chris, our FOB, friend of Bob, Chris, down in Alabama, has repeatedly referenced something called Echelon, located in Maple Grove, West Virginia. Guess where all this telephone surveillance most likely took place? It's not, you know, this isn't the olden days when they had to go and, you know, do something physical to tap your line. This is a mad, you know, this is the computer age. This is push a button and listen. I almost feel sorry for the poor NSA employees who had to do this. Can you imagine the garbage they had to listen to?
I can't believe she said that. Did she say she said that?
Click another number. Let's go back to the phones. Jim had another thought. Hey, Jim, your head on.
Well, simply pursuant to what you were just saying, and I can remember when you were on WWNR, you mentioned a book called Chatter, or one of your callers did.
That was Chris.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I bought that book and read it. And, you know, I'm not sure about Maple Grove being operational anymore.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But I do know that the National Security Administration is headquartered at Fort Meade. Now, they have supercomputers that are capable of doing 23 billion calculations per second. And we have some very sophisticated listing posts in the United Kingdom, in the British Isles, and also places like Diego Garcia. I mean, this is not classified. This is open to the public. Anybody who wants to read it can.
Right.
But, I mean, we're capable of listening to just about anything we want to. And as part of the intelligence community, the NSA's ability, ability to surveil is just almost, unstoppable. I mean, you're talking about computers that can do 23 billion calculations a second.
Yeah, that's a little better than your average laptop, isn't
these
it?
These computers are not available to the American market.
No.
Now, these are specially built for this particular purpose, and, you know, combined with satellite technology and, of course, other types of information gathering devices, the NSA, I'm sure, has had to record a lot of conversations. Now, I can remember reading about the Third Reich in the days it was in existence. You had several people. You had Himmler, who had his bureau. You had Ribbentrop, who had his bureau. And then you had other Nazi bigwigs who had their bureaus. And these bureaus had special departments that did nothing but wiretap and transcribe.
And it was a far more complicated process back then.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, all of the telephone conversations that occurred in the brief history of the Third Reich, you can find these things, a lot of them, where they have been monitored and they have been typewritten and filed. I mean, you had the Dienststelle Ribbentrop, you had the Bureau Himmler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were all wiretapping each other.
And it's worth remembering, and this isn't necessarily saying George Bush is a Nazi, even if he is.
No, no. No. I mean,
but we learned from those people, Jim, didn't we?
Well, I mean, this is not without precedent. And, you know, it took place in one of the most onerous regimes ever to rule the planet while Hitler and his hated shadow struck the earth.
But didn't? But in point of fact, you know, one of the great concerns with the collapse of Nazi Germany was making sure that we got our hands on as much of their technology as we possibly could, as opposed to letting the Soviets have it.
Oh yeah, well definitely. I mean, we were making a definite. We knew what was going on at Peenemünde, and then of course they left the Baltic with their rockets and they went elsewhere, but. We wanted to get von Braun and Dornberger and these people who were involved in the B-1 and B-2 programs because we needed them for the Cold War that was to follow because we realized that our honeymoon with the Russians was ending even before the war stopped, you know?
Yeah.
And, of course, the Soviets were trying to do the same thing. It was spy versus spy, and each person had to get these valuable assets out of Germany that really, in our case, were the father of our modern-day rocket program.
Well, and the roots of the modern national security state lie in that transition as well, do they not?
Well, yeah. I mean, for example, Reinhard Gehlen was Himmler's chief of operational intelligence in the Eastern Theater. And you could be damn sure that we got him, and he was in the employ of the OSS and the organizations that came afterwards because they knew all about Soviet intelligence. That was their business when they were fighting the war on the Eastern Front. And Reinhard Gehlen was the top man that they picked out. And, you know, we got those people. And they were valuable assets, and, you know, I can't blame us for getting them. We should have gotten them, absolutely, because the Russians are certainly getting their share.
Well, without a doubt, but the question is the use we made of them. well, and the direction we took with it.
I think the use that we made out of them was simply to try to enforce our policy of what we call containment, which was the official policy of the American government during the 1950s and 60s, was basically to contain communism and to, you know, basically meet them on a quid pro quo basis. That's what we did, I think.
But inevitably, it seems that the process leads to what I would consider institutional paranoia.
Well, you're going to have a lot of competition between various agencies. There's a lot of parochialism involved in all agencies, even within the intelligence community itself. Okay.
Yeah.
Each one is competing with the other, trying to get better on the other, because then they can take these reports to Congress, and when they need a budget and they need increases in their budget, they can use any greater incursions they have made, as opposed to what the other agency has done, as evidence. Look at what we've done, and this is what we...
Yeah, justification for a sort of one-upmanship.
Exactly. And, you know, you have a lot of competition and pride and, you know, I guess pride of ownership of the information, as well as the activities of the agents in the field to try to do better and to... justify their own existence. I mean, that's the big thing with the agencies of the government now. They have to do that. I mean, it's very competitive. I mean, they talk about there's no competition
in
the government sector as opposed to the private sector. Well, I can tell you from personal experience, there's a great deal of competition and a great deal of parochialism between respective agencies and arms of the military as well as the civilian community.
So, and of course, the NSA is the single largest intelligence agency. Everybody tends to think about the FBI or the CIA. These are the guys. These are the watchers, and we're getting, well, you know, thousands and thousands of people had their phone calls monitored. God only knows who or why.
Well, I'm sure yours have been monitored. I'm sure mine have been monitored. I mean, you know, I have no doubt that.
Yeah, because we're dangerous.
Well, I don't know about how dangerous we are. I mean, we talk, but, I mean, we're not going to, and nor have we ever threatened the life of anybody or tried to blow anybody up. I mean, we've simply had conversations and dialogue and expressed ideas about what is right or wrong. And
that's the whole nature of my concern, though, Jim. They are afraid. They are more afraid, I submit, they are more afraid of their own citizenry than they are of outside attackers. And when you get to that point, the flag has changed, but it's a pretty Soviet approach to things.
Well, I think tonight's survey, 92% of the American people don't want this. And I think that is basically sending a very clear signal to the White House and as well as to the people at Fort Meade that this should stop, that they should cease and to desist.
Well, that's where perhaps you and I part company, because I don't think they give a tinker's damn about what the American people want. They never have. If they cared about what the American people wanted, we wouldn't have had these god awful tax cuts. We wouldn't be looking at $100 million being cut out of the food stamp budget, for God's sakes.
Well, now this does not occur at Fort Meade. This occurs at the Capitol building and the Congress. Okay. Now, let's place the blame where it's due.
Yeah, I understand, but, you know...
It's not being done by the individual agencies.
No, I'm talking about the Bush administration.
And 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
And it's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue I'm talking about.
Pay grade. And as you yourself admitted, you felt sorry for the NSA employees who had to do it. I mean, these agencies and organizations and organs of security, for lack of a better term, are... basically, I think, patriotic Americans who feel that they're doing their job.
Well, I'm sure that they do, but by the same token, somewhere along the way, somebody knew it was illegal, Jim.
Well, the president signed a secret order,
mm-hmm.
which basically circumvented the law. Now, it is very important to understand what language means. Now, obviously, within the inherent powers of the executive branch, he has some right to do that, or it has been interpreted that he does. And now, if they want to call him to account for this, and if he doesn't, well, that's one thing. But, I mean, obviously, he had the right to do this back, when did he do it? A couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, you know, and, of course, if the New York Times is willing to hold off on the story for 2 years or a year and a half, I mean, there must be somebody must have convinced somebody that it was in the best interest of the country, because the New York Times, I thought, would be the guardian of freedom of information.
Well, but by the same token, again, everything comes together sort of in this revelation, Jim. If you remember the discussions about, what was her name? Judith Miller.
Correct.
You know. The great journal, the great journalistic screw up didn't lie in the fact that Judy Miller was protecting her source, so to speak, or as she claimed. The screw up lay in the fact that she was covering for someone who was actively breaking the law. She wasn't covering for a whistleblower. She was providing independent cover for the Bush administration.
Well, so eventually these things will emerge and their sins will find them out, I'm sure. And if, in fact, they have gone too far, I mean, you can take any administration in history, even FDR, who is a hero of mine, and John F. Kennedy. And there were points in their own administration when they pulled some of the same tricks.
And
FDR came as close to breaking the law as anybody did to these programs. That he did.
Well, I understand that, but
this is not without precedent, okay? You can see how their mindset's, well, if he did it, well, why can't I do it? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I'm playing the devil's advocate.
I do know. I've got a pretty good idea how these people's minds work. And, you know, Patrick Leahy's comments on the floor today indicate that he does, too. He said, you know, the same people that gave George Bush the legal cover to do this also gave him the legal cover to engage in torture. Those are his words, the very same DOJ lawyers.
Well, I think perhaps the pendulum has begun to swing back in the opposite direction. And in the words of Tammy Faye Baker,
oh, God,
people are going to say enough is enough. You know?
How did you get Tammy Faye Baker into this conversation?
That's my favorite album. You haven't heard it?
Yes, yes. Yeah,
I think it's wonderful. It's just so bad it's good.
Right up there with Mrs. Miller Sings the Beatles.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Eventually people just say enough is enough. And, you know, when you start doing more harm than good and you start to create some type of dictatorship, and you have to have some type of war going in some other part of the world in order to justify your existence, and it's costing us $500 billion to do this, I mean, pretty soon people are going to get tired of that, and it's going to stop.
Well, I hope they do. I hope it's going to stop. I hope it's going to stop soon. The man should leave the White House, but
well,
that's you and me.
You know, he probably will leave under his own steam. But, you know, eventually, when people begin to assess the damage that's been done under his presidency, it's not going to be a very pleasant picture.
Oh, I tend to agree. We got to hit it, though, Jim.
Okay, buddy.
Take care. Bye now. All right, let's take a quick break and come back. I really want to get to some of these sound bites. I want you to hear the other couple of comments from Dear Ms. Rice. Some of this stuff just bears repeating. This is Head On.
Call me to the faraway town. Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding. Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
We're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff Comic Activity Book.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Many years ago on the Dick Cavett Show, Monty Python alumnus John Cleese talked about offense and the difference between when someone is honestly offended and when they're officially offended. That is, they're offended because they're a politician or the head of an organization, and if they don't say something, their constituents will be mad at them. Or worse, they exaggerate their offense in order to get more money and power for themselves. Some people are offended by the very idea that others even exist. These are the kind of people who, when pushed hard enough, wind up flying airplanes into buildings. You know, a lot of things offend me. I get offended when I work at a place and my superiors, who make twice what I do, can't find the back of their hand without a map. I get offended when I read something written by someone with a college education that sounds like something out of junior high. Snobbery, racism, injustice, all these things offend me on a very personal level. It's one of the reasons why I do these reports and the radio show. If I didn't vent every now and then, I think I'd explode. Now, there's nothing wrong with being offended from time to time. Face it, it's hard not to be offended in this day and age. But if we want to make the world a better place, we sometimes have to put our offense aside or find a harmless outlet for it. At the very least, we need to recognize the difference between when we have really offended someone by our actions and when officially offended people are just mouthing off to protect their phony baloney careers. Like it or not, the reality is that we all have to live together. If we can't accept that, sooner or later we'll run out of airplanes and buildings and people. Now get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
No!
Yes, yes, yes. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's your nightly confrontation with the facts. And if you want to jump into the fray, get in on the cussing and discussing, 304-658-3333. Or if you need us to carry the freight, we'll be happy to do so at 877-443-2366. Email bob@headonradio.com. We've taken care of that. Now let's move on. As I said, our Secretary of State, our Secretary of Shopping, I still can't believe that. That woman was out looking for Ferragamo pumps while people were drowning in New Orleans. My God. But Condi Rice was on the Today Show today. And, you know, earlier you heard how she didn't answer the question. But she is really good when it comes to not answering questions put to her.
The president has been very clear that he would not order people to do things that are illegal. The president has a constitutional responsibility. His constitutional responsibility is to protect and defend the Constitution. That is an oath of office that he took, and it's one that he takes absolutely seriously. That means to protect and defend Americans' civil liberties. It also means to protect and defend Americans. And the kind of attack that we experienced on September 11th means that the president has a heavy responsibility to do that. But he did it always, anything that he did, legally and within his constitutional responsibility.
Yeah, sure. Did you get anything out of that?
Can I have a pair of Ferragamo pumps for that?
Only if you slide the pot up and people actually hear you, dear.
Oops.
See, gremlins again. Can I get a pair of Ferragamo pumps for that?
Not on your life. You know what those things cost?
For that? For what she just did? And I deserve a bag to match.
No. What does the Secretary of State make? I mean, what is her salary? You know, do you remember from a year or so ago, maybe more, the story of her going into one of the department stores in Washington, D.C. and berating the clerk at the jewelry counter? Asked to see some, no, I want to see the good stuff. Don't you know I have money? I'm Condoleezza Rice. Yeah, she did that. But this business of, the president would never tell anybody to do anything that's illegal. Does that go back to, you know, all the way back to the days in bad old Matamoros, Mexico? Hey, come here, snort this. I mean, is that included? Wouldn't tell anybody to do anything illegal. Let's see. How about Scooter Libby, Tom DeLay? Yeah, but he wouldn't tell anybody to do anything. No, he wouldn't tell them. That's the whole point. These, you know, it's the devil's in the details with these people. He didn't tell them anything. He sort of nudged them and gave them a little wink. Joe Vecchio, in his Cup of Joe report, referenced John Cleese. And you know, with this, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and nudge as good as a wink to a blind man. Say no more, does she go? So, you know, when Condi's telling you that the president wouldn't tell anybody to do anything illegal, well, that's because he's gotten a report from some Justice Department lawyer that says, well, you remember the Gonzalez memo. The Geneva Conventions are quaint and old-fashioned and outmoded, not torturing people, you know, that's just, that fad has passed. But there was just a little bit more of kind of sleazy Rice, and you know, I had to sit and cut it. You may as well have to listen to it.
I'm, again, not going to comment on intelligence activities, because intelligence activities, by their very nature,
are activities
that are sensitive and that should not be compromised. Katie, I just want to reassure the American people that whatever is written here, that the President of the United States acted lawfully in every step that he has taken to defend the American people and to defend them within his constitutional responsibility.
Our Secretary of State is Barney Fife. Okay, you got that? Did you hear that? That's the episode of the Andy Griffith Show where Andy asks Barney about the Emancipation Proclamation. Well, Barney, what was the Emancipation Proclamation? Well, you know, it was a proclamation of emancipation. That's this. That is this. It is just, I'm astonished. But the other trick, or the other thing, did you notice the tremors in her voice? Now, this woman talks to Tim Russert and all manner of, all manner of news people, and she's usually pretty calm and pretty cool. But if you listened carefully, you could hear the quavering in her voice. And, you know, that does bespeak a certain lack of candor and a certain lack of honesty. These people know that they are in the hot and deep stuff, and they're worried. David's with us on the phone. Let's go right to him. Hey, David, you're head on. Happy Friday.
Well, happy Friday, Bob. Good evening to you and to the lovely and talented knob-twirling Agnes.
Oh, goodness me.
Well, regarding Condi and what she says and how she says it, I've come up with a wonderful little wintertime indoor sport where Condi's concerned, and it's called Count the Uhs.
Okay.
4.8 words on average between the for that college-educated, brilliant disco singer, whatever the heck she claims to be.
Right.
Shoe shopping witch from somewhere else.
Oil tanker, yeah, oil tanker named after her, yeah.
You know, it's like you can't really do it so much now in the with the contact lens era being firmly in place. But it used to be able to tell when somebody was lying by how many times they blinked. Well, that factor is when she knows she's spinning that web. She does it. Jeannie does it. They all do it. Everything that you just played, that little clip that you just played, there are enough linguistic, euphemistic loopholes in that large enough to put an orca through them. The fingers don't even have to be crossed behind the back, because those people define and redefine and undefine and non-define and known and unknown. They twist the language, and to say that he doesn't support or condone or torture, they've already redefined torture as anything short of killing somebody.
Well, what was the official definition? Anything that doesn't lead to organ failure or death. Well, that was the official definition of what wasn't torture.
I could stay an arm's length away, and I can make you say anything. And the worst part about that is torture yields
nothing.
Information. It is fine. You're pulling my toenails off. What would you like to hear me say? No. Before you go to the next toe, what do you want to hear me say? I've got it for you.
Tell me. Just tell me. I'll be happy to share it with you. Absolutely.
It's big brain. WMD got some. Whatever.
Yellow cake. We got yellow. We got chocolate. We got devil's food.
Oh, speckled paint. Got that too. But it is so disingenuous. And if you notice this incredible media onslaught tonight on NPR in a live interview, I heard Rummy speak to a young woman, based on the tenor of her voice, probably in her 30s. 60 days ago, he would have never even, he would have fired the assistant to the assistant to the assistant that said, Mr. Secretary, we would like you to speak to an NPR correspondent, age 38, that went to Brandeis.
Right.
He was on there tonight. All of this media hype, Bush taking questions, Bush coming out from under his shell, Bush saying 30,000. Bush even, well, I guess it's about 2,100, give or take a few, you know, not that I really
And then all
care.
That business about I take responsibility, but I'd do it all over again.
In real estate, if the basement's full of water and the roof leaks and you can't turn the power on because the wires are bad, but there's a great coat of paint that's just been put on the shutters and somebody just Kim lawned the front yard so that it's the greenest thing you ever seen. All they want to do is pretty up the corpse that is this administration so that they can cause that poor non-thinking, harried, busy, Fox-inundated listener, viewer, voter into thinking, oh, he really is the good man that we vote. You know what? Now, even though those people are so ugly, we're going to fight a good, God-fearing, Marcus of Queensberry rules war, and we're not going to torture. So you know what? I need to take my 20% of the populace and put it solidly behind him so he can continue to create tax cuts for the people I can't even be on the street next to when they drive by.
Well, you know, David, I was talking, I guess maybe it was last night or night before last, about the protests in Washington over the budget cuts to social services. And there was a quote in there from a spokesperson for James Dobson. Or no, it was a quote from Dobson himself, and he was lauding, you know, he didn't have any interest in this business about the food stamp program, Medicare, Medicaid, yeah, screw that. He wanted to talk about the pro-family tax cuts.
Hold it, Bob. There might have been some static on the line somewhere else in North America. I thought I heard you say pro-family tax cut.
That's what I said, because that's what Dobson said. They were working on the pro-family tax cuts.
I need to put a pistol to my ear and clean the wax out. That is the most insane, insidiously ugly thing I may have ever heard you say.
But these are the people that what you were just describing, these are the people that they're playing to, David. You know, as if they can just have enough cover for Emery and Eileen, who, you know, are right there at the First Pentecostal Holiness Tabernacle and Herpetological Park every time the doors open. If they can just slide it past them, they think they're going to be okay. And the proof of this, I caught a few minutes of CNN this afternoon when Jack Cafferty was reading his viewer mail.
Okay.
And what, you know, there must have been five or six emails from people saying, you know, how dare he order spying on American citizens? The nerve of him! He has no regard for the Constitution. He's broken his constitutional oath, and go through all of that. And then there's one from, you know, Nattering Nabob in Mississippi or wherever, who says, he can tap my line anytime he wants to, 'cause I ain't got nothing to hide. And he's trying to protect us.
Well, until he calls that 900 line and wants to talk to Ramona.
Oh, man, can you imagine how many of those they probably got?
Of course they did. And this charade.
They got bread recipes. They got 900 number calls to Ramona. They got angry spats between work and home and the husband and the wife. And in the meantime, you know, while they're going through all this, the terrorists are probably sitting back playing canasta, right?
Of course they are, because they can watch all of this foolishness. I streamed for a little while the other night, and I heard you say simple competence would have stopped it. This Patriot, oh, God, the most misnamed act in the history of our legislative bodies. That hideous invasion of our privacy. And the other thing that I want to touch on, and I know the break is coming.
Take your time. It's Friday, man. We're cutting slack.
The charade of that poor, benighted, out of touch, wants to be elected more than he wants to deserve it, McCain fellow.
Oh.
Shaking that slimy, wet hand of that man and thinking, if he is honest, and I don't believe McCain is, I think he's deluded. I think he's just finally over the edge. George Walker Bush is now going to do right by torture because he's written a little something on a piece of paper or shaken McCain's hand while he probably laughs at the scar on McCain's cheek. And I've lost complete respect for McCain.
Oh, I have not. Yeah, a long time ago.
If you are a warrior and a slime, a lower form of life like George W. Bush treats you the way he has treated you three separate occasions, three separate loops where Bush screwed him horribly, in the most ugly of fashion.
Yeah, the South Carolina attacks, the Michigan attacks.
Please, Mr. President, could I have it once again? no need for that. Well, we won't go there.
Yeah, I understand.
Some phrases might get us into
trouble,
but it's horrible, and all it is to sway the shallow-thinking, busy, frightened American voter into thinking, oh, he really isn't that man that all of this news evidence irrefutably points toward. He really is that good Christian man. We're going to fight a nice, polite war against those ugly people over there in the sand. And it's still disgusting.
It is. And, of course, they had to knuckle under on this torture thing because, Bush had threatened to veto it, right? But he has never vetoed a bill in his entire presidency. He may go down in history as the first president never to veto anything.
Can he spell veto?
Huh?
Can he spell veto?
No, can't spell it.
Doesn't understand the process.
No, but the thing is, they understood that this torture bill was going to come up to him, and if he did veto it, that everything was going to come unglued. Because I have a sneaking sense that based on some of the things that Ben said and some of the other speculation, and that's all it is—it's speculation. We're just honest enough to admit it. And you noted it as well, that some of this stuff just sort of flows together in such a way that you kind of had a feeling that they knew this. Well, of course they knew it was coming. I doubt if Condoleezza Rice she doesn't get out and about that early in the day that often.
No. They're out there playing for PR because they know they have to do something. Because midweek this week, one more fellow in Mr. Abramoff's cadre of sleeves, rolled his time into that cop spot so that he could speak about what will make his sentence one-third of what he did. So between Scanlon and all the rest of them, that is going to climb. I'm sorry, this is one case where it's going to run uphill.
Well, you're old enough. You remember the Nixon days.
Let me say this about that.
Well, people tend to recall that it was all about Watergate. Well, it wasn't. It was the committee to reelect the president. It was Bebe Rebozo. It was Spiro Agnew, shady money dealing. And it all sort of morphed together into one creature. That's what
There wasn't one square yard of concrete that got poured in the state of Maryland that 8.5 cents didn't come into
Spiro Agnew's pocket. Exactly.
That was established beyond any question.
And that is what seems to be evolving here. Now, this isn't the phony, bogus BS of Whitewater. These are real crimes, real high crimes, real misdemeanors. Whether it's pushing the phony intelligence for the war, the filthy money scandals. This business with Randy Duke Cunningham is already growing legs.
And thank you for mentioning him, because please, all of you wingnuts that I know you're listening, here's one of the five most powerful Republicans that's been elected to office in the last 10 years, and he copped a guilty plea and was willing to say, I have 2.25 really large in my pocket from places I shouldn't have gotten it. If that's what he pleaded to, my Lord, there must be 10 times that and 20 times the connections to others. They want to stop that case where it is.
Was it a plea deal? I can't remember. I mean, obviously it wasn't a conviction. So, he reached a deal, which, and that language is going to be in there. It always is. And will agree to appear and truthfully testify upon being subpoenaed by the people of the United States.
He pleaded guilty. I mean, it was an indictment guilty plea in 48 hours, I think. That was that. Well, a Republican with the power that he could, with the firestorm that he could bring against a prosecutor or a prosecutorial agency, whether it was federal, state, or local.
Right.
Think of the firestorm. Think of the artillery he could put onto that. He didn't plead guilty because he was
contrite.
Hangs up, you know. Uh-uh. Let's forget about contrite. Let's drop that word at no. Somebody, somewhere, him included, as a group, said, wait a second, with damage control boys, stop the bleeding right now. All right, the arm goes off to save the body. So what? Well, in this case, the finger goes off to save the body. Ugh.
But as I said, though, it's all going to morph together. And you saw it, I guess it was a couple of days ago, when Dear Leader gave his little interview with, Brian Williams from NBC, and he asked him about Abramoff, and he said, well, you know, I see him as an equal giver to both parties. That was an outright lie.
That was a huge distortion. That was as big a distortion as you can ever imagine. And I know for a fact, in a very small way, I mean, just that, you know, people talk about, I've touched the elephant's foot, therefore I know what the elephant's going to look like. Well, I know one person that speaks to people that work for the New York Times. Everybody, whether it's the guy driving a truck for the New York Times, is being hit every single day. Where are you people? Why aren't you people? What happened to you people? This business about wiretaps has been in the New York Times gut for a year.
Or more,
and they swallowed the administration admonition to keep it quiet, or were fearful, or I don't know what it was.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier, David. This goes back to Judith Miller.
The fact that the New York Times is now untrustworthy. Can you imagine what I feel like after watching the convention in 68, after growing up conservative Southern and hearing ugly, unshaven, smelly pot smokers scream things in the street with profanity in it, and me horrified as a 25-year-old, we got to do something about these people. And 5 years later, everything they screamed proved true. But the New York Times was breaking those stories then.
Yeah.
Au contraire.
Not anymore.
Not anymore is exactly right.
Well, David, I really appreciate the conversation. It's always good to talk to you, and you bring so much to the table. I do appreciate it.
Well, you know, gee whiz, Bob, I've been such a motor mouth tonight, but I'd love the chance to rant, and I'm hoping that Wayne is probably, you know, able to handle knives again, and, you know, the Steelers aren't looking quite so bad. A couple of weeks ago, I thought, you know what, I should do something to, like, make sure that guy is not around ledges. Doesn't have a sharp object. You know, he needs to have, I'm sure a couple of weeks ago he needed to have friends drop by. And
oh, it was ugly.
they're rallying.
But, you know, thanks to Kansas City and San Diego last week, there's a hope.
Oh, it's a wonderful season. It's going to be quite interesting. And don't ever mention the Green Bay Packers to me until 3 years from now when all is much better.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, David. Take care. And have a great weekend.
I shall, Bob, and you too.
Bye now. All right, quick break, and we'll come back. It's the stuff that goes on while we're busy listening to other people's the vegetable soup recipes that really gets to you. I got another one of those. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
McGruff, the crime dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Thank you.
Excuse me, sir. Oh, no. No, I'm here.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Oh, heavenly days. 7 minutes after the hour, 53 minutes left in this Friday night edition of Head On. And then I gotta slog through the weekend. 2 days to get through until I get to be back with you guys. Hey, it's what it is. I live for this. The phone numbers, of course, 304-658-3333, 877-4, and that's the number for Head On, if you want to jump in and get involved. And email to Bob at headonradio.com. Our buddy Ron has made use of that to share a couple of thoughts with regard to the physical troubles that dear leader has. He said, and you know, I always appreciate being enlightened. Bush has Spuffet's disease, and that's when one's face looks so much like their ass that they can't figure out which way to turn. And also with regard to the music that the lovely Agnes plays, can you play "Let the Eagle Soar" by John Ashcroft? Somebody's going to have to email the MP3 to us. We should have that in our repertoire, shouldn't we, dear?
If you all care.
It works a lot better with the slide up, yes.
If you all care anything about Agnes, please, God, please call Bob now. I'll listen to him all weekend long. Thank you.
What was that about?
I just want to hear their lovely voices.
Well, at any rate, a few more details coming out of the Bush story today. Not the least of which, this detail. Now, you know what he did. Do you know how many times he did it? 36 times. 36 times or more that he authorized and reauthorized the secret spying program. Since October 2001. This should say, if you get caught with your hand, you do it once, well, maybe you can get away with saying you weren't sure if it was wrong or not. You do it twice, three dozen times. He authorized spying on American citizens like you and like me. Three dozen times. Now, let's go back to some of the fun sound bites we had from earlier today and enjoy a few comments. Charles Schumer is not my favorite guy in the Senate. He's a Democrat, but he's not my favorite. But, you know, in the context, and I think Ben is probably right, this was saved for this moment, the Patriot Act debate. And, you know, Senator Schumer sort of made that obvious.
If this government will discard a law that has worked well for over 30 years without a whit of discussion or notice, then for sure we better be certain that we have safeguards on that government.
Okay, that's good enough. But the problem here lies in the fact that are we to be expected to actually believe that there are people in the Congress who aren't Republicans who credit the idea that George Bush is an honest and upright man? He's a criminal. You know, please remember, this is what comes of putting a man in the Oval Office, the first man in the history of this once great nation, this once proud nation, the first man ever to take the oath of the office of the presidency with a criminal record in tow. That says something. What did they say during the Clinton torment? Words mean things. So do convictions. But, of course, we've got a little bit more from Charles Schumer. Go ahead, dear.
Why, with a flick of a wrist, did this administration ignore those laws and listen in on conversations of hundreds of people when it would have been so easy to obey the law? Today's revelation makes it crystal clear that we have to be very careful, very careful.
See, that's what makes me wonder whether Charles Schumer is a babe in the woods, or if he has been if this is an act. He asks, "Why would they do this when they could just as easily obey the law?" There is an answer, and the answer is these people have no regard for law. This is the crowd that hangs out with Grover Norquist, who says he wants to make the government so weak you can drown it in a bathtub. They despise we, the people. They have no concept of individual sovereignty. For these people, all we're subjects. We're not citizen sovereigns. We're not. We're not secure in our persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. You see, never mind this 30-year-old law that Charles Schumer is talking about. The hell with that. I want this man impeached, and I want him impeached for the direct violation of the Constitution, of which the Fourth Amendment is a significant part, and which he swore to uphold and then peed on. That's what I want. I want him tried for his high crimes and misdemeanors against the Constitution. A consensual sex act between two adult individuals does not and cannot and never will constitute a high crime or a misdemeanor as defined within the Constitution. But we impeached the most successful president in the last 50 years over that. We impeached a president and spent $70 million in investigating blown land deals. We invested $70 million on the suicide of Vince Foster. And still, to this day, not one nickel to investigate a man who has no regard for law, no regard for other human beings. God knows he has no regard for life. And that's what's wrong. Charles Schumer, why would they do this? What is he thinking? You know, it's the old story about the snake. The woman finds the driving along, there's an injured snake by the side of the road. It's a rattlesnake. The snake, she takes it home, nurses it back to health. A little bit later, the snake bites her. And she says, "Why did you do that?" And the snake says, "Lady, you knew I was a snake when you picked me up." It's what they do. Now, in the meantime, while, you know, we're listening in on Aunt Mabel's fudge recipe and missing a chance to put away Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, that kind of thing, well, a Reuters story. Sarah Zapolsky was checking in for a flight to Italy when she discovered her 9-month-old son's name was on the U.S. no-fly list of suspected terrorists. "We pointed down to the stroller, and he sat right there and gurgled," Zapolsky said, recalling the incident at Dulles International Airport outside Washington in July. The desk agent started laughing. "She couldn't print us out a boarding pass because he's on the no-fly list." She said it was funny at first, but it's not anymore. She said, "When I found out you actually can't get off the list, I started to get a bit annoyed." This is what comes of having a president who is more afraid of the people that he calls fellow citizens than he is of, his former Saudi business partners. The Transportation Security Administration does not reveal how many or which names are actually on the list, and complaints do not get names removed since they refer to suspected terrorists. Like I said a couple of nights ago, I have a sneaking suspicion that somewhere along the way, someone in the Bush administration read Catch-22 and didn't understand it was satire. But tonight, in America, we're safe from the little Zapolsky baby and all of his terrorist intents. Thank God for George W. Bush. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe 3 times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. 22 and a half minutes after the hour, Friday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and yes, ma'am. Slow down. It's not auctioneer night at Head On. All right, we can do it this way. How's that?
That's very special.
Well, thank
you. Just keep doing that, Bob.
Okay.
That way they won't think that you're drinking too much Coca-Cola.
All right. You know I don't do caffeine. There were other things going on in the world today. It's hard to imagine, but we'll get to them for the final segment of the show. Just a couple of little fun pieces for you. But in the meantime, it is nice to know that people were paying attention on, you know, in the halls of power. You know, we got a lot of denial out of Condi Rice, and we got Bill Frist out there saying it's a retreat and defeat strategy. I hate the sloganeering. I hate the politicization. If artillery shells were raining over Washington, D.C., and a Republican had a chance to try to make some political hay out of it, you can bet they would. Because that is how they are. But meanwhile, we also, one of the heroes of the Patriot Act fight is, without a doubt, Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin, and he managed to hit the nail on the head pretty well himself.
And I don't want to hear again from the Attorney General or anyone on this floor that this government has shown it can be trusted to use the power we give it with restraint and care. This shocking revelation ought to send a chill down the spine of every senator and every American.
And it does. It does. I read this thing this morning, and I've been looking, you know, trying to figure out, because as an American, I don't want this to be real. I despise George Bush, but I want to have faith in the government of which I am at least titularly a participant. But I don't know that I can. And Senator Feingold understood that, you know, while you've got Bill Frist over there saying, you know, this is a retreat and defeat strategy. No. This is about a question of whether or not we will honor the blood sacrifice handed down to us by the people who broke this nation away from England and kept it free through the War of 1812 and struggled to hold it together through the Civil War. Senator Feingold understands that.
The judicial review that the conference report allows after the fact of the national security letter itself and the mandatory gag order, Mr. President, is just a mirage. After what the Times reported this morning, no one in this body should be comfortable with the government having this kind of unreviewable power.
No, they shouldn't. It should never have been passed in the first place. You remember, of course, that Russ Feingold was the one person who voted against the Patriot Act the first time through. Government does not need this kind of abuse-prone power. I read you the text of the Fourth Amendment early in the program, but the fact is the Fourth Amendment has been all but dead for years, if not decades now. And the question, I suppose, is whether or not we're going to allow what was revealed today to go on and just finally kill it once and for all. Like I said, simple words, elegant words, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Doesn't say shall not be violated unless there's a really damn good reason. It says shall not be violated, and then it tells, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause. Was there a warrant in these thousands of wiretap cases? Was there any showing of probable cause? And of course, you understand within the Patriot Act, for God's sakes, there doesn't need to be a warrant for some agent to go to the library and find out the last time you checked out Lady Chatterley's lover. There doesn't have to be a warrant for one of these national security letters to issue. All there has to be is a healthy whim on the part of a security agent of the United States. And it is that security structure which poses as much or greater threat to what passes for American freedom today than anything any 6'3" down one kidney dialysis patient Arab in a cave in Pakistan could ever even dream of subjecting us to. Right? Right. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Oh, dear, I've got a weekend in front of me. Agnes is making faces at me. This might not be good. The last 27 minutes or so of tonight's Friday night edition of Head On. Thanks to everyone who's joined in whether it be via email or phone call or just sitting there listening and or chatting away. For instance, at the Tom Hartman chat room where so many of our friends are. Don't forget, I didn't have a promo to run, but by all means, do not forget Fourth Estate Radio tomorrow night, 11. Agnes, why are you? I'm sorry. That it's a time zone thing, and I get confused. I'm simple that way. All right, a couple of other things in the wide, wide world out there besides the fact that, well, we're getting spied on by the President of the United States. I mean, that ought to be enough, but, well, never mind. Of course, you've heard 1,000 times over that the Congress voted to go to war, and they had the same information that I had. They saw the same intelligence, and they made the same decision to go to war. Well, turns out not to quite be... true. turns out that no, Congress didn't have the same information, because after hearing that about 16 dozen times, Senator Dianne Feinstein made a reference to the Congressional Research Service, the CRS. And this isn't, you know, a nonpartisan outfit. They work for Republicans, they work for Democrats. They just get their little work assignment and go for it. And as a consequence, she simply sent them, did Congress see and have all of the intelligence information that the president had in the run-up to the war? This from the Washington Post today. A congressional report made public yesterday concluded that President Bush and his inner circle had access to more intelligence and reviewed more sensitive material than what was shared with Congress when it gave Bush the authority to wage war against Iraq. 14-page report, and it contradicts Bush's constant prattle that, well, they saw the same information I did. No, they didn't. So we, you know, like Bill Murray says in Caddyshack, so you got that going, which is good. You got to, does it end? Where? If it does, where and when? Besides 2008. The White House, of course, disputed the charges and said that Congress often works directly with U.S. intelligence agencies, privy to anonymous and out of classified information. Look, I'm sitting here in our remote, undisclosed location in the hills of wild, wonderful West Virginia, and just reading the news stories in 2002 was enough to convince me that the proposed war against Iraq was stupid, needless, and ginned up in the worst way. And that's just me. But no, there are people out there who, you know, the same guy that emailed CNN, President Bush can tap my phones anytime he wants to because I ain't got nothing to hide. There are people out there who believe him when he says things like that. And I haven't met any of them lately, to be quite honest. I don't know what I would do if I did. It challenges the ability of an individual to feel like you're, you know, just living in a sane, rational, reasonable universe, you know, gravity, that kind of stuff. Oh, good, the cat. So, at any rate, Senator Feinstein said, the report demonstrates that Congress routinely is denied access to intelligence sources, intelligence collection, and analysis. The intelligence panel met yesterday to discuss the second phase of its investigation into the administration's handling of pre-war assertions. And, of course, we still haven't gotten that second phase. So, you know, with coming up on, what's the next benchmark? 2,200, 2,300 dead in Iraq? How many dead civilian? We don't know because, you know, the Pentagon says, well, you know, we don't count those dead brown people. I'm speechless. It breaks my heart. You know, this is a violation of all that cool stuff they taught in civics class, like as I've mentioned. I want to believe in my government. We've got kids, Agnes and I. And we're trying to teach them, you know, that there's something good in all of this. Okay, I was wrong. Saturday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, not 11, for Fourth Estate Radio. Be there. I'm going to try to be. The cat has come in. Let's take a quick break and deal with the cat. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Baby, you can drive my new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago,
games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Like a river running through the air of the cat.
Yeah, yeah, Agnes, very funny. Year of the Cat. The cat's out of the room. Any jaguars, ocelots? We're never letting you produce under the influence of antihistamines again. We made a promise when this show went on the air, dear, that unlike Flush Flemball and the other right wing monkeys, we would do unimpaired radio.
I'm sick, folks. I'm taking antihistamines. I'm so sorry, but working
with Bob.
You're
not so sorry.
Bob,
you're so high.
I am not, and he's just being mean. Email him. Let him know. He needs to be nice to his producer.
I'm trying to be nice. It's okay. It's okay. You're talking without the microphone on, dear. Oh, merciful God. Hey, here's an idea. Racist Republican update. This one will work. Oh, it's just all coming apart at the seams here. If you get the giggles, I'm running you out of the room and finishing the show, dear. I'm playing. It's be nice to Agnes. It's always be nice to Agnes Knight. No, have you ever had the misfortune of sitting through an episode of Fox and Friends? The blab fest. Yesterday on Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade, who is one of the gambling babblers there. Out of the blue, there wasn't even no conversation about environmentalism, rainforest damage, nothing. He said that they were pointing out the fact that there were poinsettias and such in the studio, and he said, here's the exchange. Take a look. We've got a whole bunch of holiday stuff on board. And he says, I feel overwhelmed. We have poinsettias. I feel like Sting at a concert in Brazil. Wait, it gets better. What's that mean? Okay, what does that mean? He's a rainforest guy. He loves the rainforest. And, you know, not having enough sense not to let that continue on. No. So he'd be happy down there? And here it is. Brian Kilmeade. He'd be happy to be down there raising money for those people with plates in their lips. I knew it'd get Agnes. You see, it never stops with these people. If it were at all permissible, they would, you know, these right wing nuts would do blackface. They'd still be doing blackface comedy. Oh, poor Agnes. And one of the co-hosts says, that came from totally, like, over here. You ever see that? I've had a subscription or two to the National Geographic. Well, there you go. Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead, dear. No, she's a mess.
No, that's not.
You have to turn it on, sweetheart. Other button. There we go.
That's not funny, except for the fact that they don't wear plates in their lips in the Amazon.
Well, according to the Rainforest Foundation, the foundation's first major initiative was to campaign globally for the protection of the lands of the Kayapo Indians in Brazilian Amazonia, who traditionally wear discs in their lower lips.
Well, maybe discs, but not plates. And considering that Fox and Friends, which sounds like something
needs to take
the place of Barney in the morning.
It's dental surgery without the anesthetic. It's horrible to watch. It's painful. It's almost as painful as this segment of the program.
And this is painful. I'm sorry. I will never work sick again.
No,
but I'm all
no,
he
no,
has.
No, people out there, they're laughing. We're suffering. You know, what's the old line from the actor that said the old Shakespearean actor? You know, well, is it really hard to die on stage? And he answers, dying is easy. Comedy is hard. Oh, well, we didn't mean it to be comedy, but, you know, it's working out that way. So, you know, it's like juggling. You know, if you drop something, make it look like part of the act. But no, that's the way these people are. You know, them little brown people sure is funny. I know. I better not tell that story. I'm going to get myself in terrible, terrible trouble. She's going to write on my face with the magic marker. No. Let's see here. Yeah, there's another fun little headline. Congressional pay rises while minimum wage stays the same. And this, while we're talking about media, do you remember when Robert Novak said the brown word on CNN? And was not heard from again. His contract runs out on December 31st. Guess where he's going?
Fox.
You knew it, didn't you, dear?
Ding, 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 ding.
We have a winner. After 25 years at CNN, columnist Robert Novak, now embroiled in the Plame CIA leak case, will be exiting on December 31st and joining Fox News. The decision was said to be mutual. But Novak said this morning that while he didn't really want to stay, he also felt CNN no longer wanted him. My God, he's been dead for 20 years. I mean, he gets transfusions right next to Keith Richards or something. This guy, there's no color to him. He's creepy looking. What's the internet nickname for him? Novacula? You know, nobody ever sees him in daylight. He's on airplanes, punching out people, starting fights in New Hampshire during the primary season. So he's off to Fox News, and it's all just kind of natural, isn't it? 74 years old, he's going to keep writing his newspaper column, and the news of his shift to Fox... Boy, you try saying that without paying attention. The news of his shift to Fox brought little surprise. He said he'd been happy at CNN and was never muzzled there. No, they just don't take kindly to him saying the brown word at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Wolf Blitzer's program. So, you know, we've got that. And finally, because it just wouldn't be it wouldn't be another night at Head On without a reference to the really weird, misogynistic, woman-hating Republican Party as well. Dateline Oklahoma City. Why did it, you know, what's Bart Cop call Oklahoma? K-Drag? Knuckle drag. Legislation that would... Oh, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. Legislation that would require abortion clinics to offer ultrasound scans to women seeking an abortion is being drafted by a state lawmaker in Oklahoma. The head of a pro-choice organization said the proposal by representative, and it's always a guy, it's never a woman offering up this kind of garbage, it's always some pasty-faced, doughy white guy. Representative Kevin Calvey, Republican of Dell City, will, quote, add an extra expense and one more barrier to access for women seeking abortion services. The intent behind many of these bills is to throw barriers in the paths of women. Of course it is!
I have the perfect solution.
Okay.
Okay, they want to do ultrasounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I suggest we go ahead and put the women on birth control and we give all the men vasectomies and then we won't have to worry about it.
No, because then there won't be... Oh, never mind.
I'll even volunteer.
No, that's okay, dear. That's okay. Go back to your happy place, honey.
Well, I mean, they want my uterus, so I want their vas deferens.
But go back to your happy place, dear.
Okay.
The name of the act is the Unborn Child Ultrasound Imaging Act. It requires abortion clinics to provide women the chance to view an ultrasound 24 hours prior to an abortion. Now, this is just the latest in line. The last time through, and, you know, we'll probably see something like this when the legislature convenes in West Virginia, because we have the so-called West Virginians for Life, this morally bankrupt, ethically dead bunch of thugs who think they control the legislature and tell people, you know, you may run for office and you may not. They did that. So we'll probably see it here. But they have to offer patients a chance to hear fetal heartbeats and see ultrasound images. You know... I don't have the equipment, the plumbing, whatever, but I'm guessing say this is a product of rape. I'm guessing hearing that heartbeat is not going to make me feel any better about little rape baby. It's sad, it's pathetic, it's tragic, and you got to wonder why the so-called pro-life movement isn't out there trying to work, you know, the existing babies, that kind of, nah, not going to do that. Only worried about the ones that are, you know, smaller than your thumbnail. But there you have it. Oklahoma. Many post-abortive women say viewing the ultrasound prior to the abortion would have changed their mind regarding the procedure. What business is that of theirs? What business is it of a bunch of right-wing fundamentalist fat old white dudes to tell women what should or shouldn't change their minds? You know, like I said, this other line of stuff coming down, you know, where they have to tell women that if they get an abortion, then you'll have a greater chance of breast cancer. You know, no truth, no factual basis to it whatsoever. But we have to do it because somebody else's judgment is better than the person who's making the medical decision. You know, and it's not just abortion. This is the way they work. The supplantation of judgment is part of the national security thing. You're not smart enough. You can't be trusted to behave yourself in your own country, so you have to be spied on by the government. Do you see how it works? Of course you do. So, the lovely Agnes now has a couple of days to get well, and I'm sure you'll all wish her well. And we'll be back Monday evening, right as rain and ready to go. Have a great weekend. The show tonight, of course, was produced by the lovely Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor and engineered by Randy Curbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages the stream and takes care of the archives of this and many other wonderful liberal talk programs. Help him out if you can. The show was brought to you tonight, as every night, by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.